Hi there, welcome to Sound Healing Radio. I'm David Gibson, and today's show is about healing every disease in the world with sound and vibration, especially vibration, not just sound. So I'm going to be playing a little bit of the TED Talk from Anthony Holland, where he shows different types of cancer being exploded with four different frequencies, but also I'll play the last part of the interview with Anthony from our conference that happened this morning. And it's really inspiring because the potential, I can see the potential now. Right. That's all. So our intention is that all disease in the universe is healed. That's all. Before we get started, though, let me tell you about some things happening here at the Institute. We've got our journey to Egypt. It's happening June 3rd through the 10th. You can find that at harmonicexpeditions.com. We've been there before, so we know how to light up the different chambers with sound. Right? And then we've got our open house on Sunday, December 10th from 1 to 5. If you're in the area, everybody gets really high. We put people on sound tables, get really peaceful as well. We talk about how it all works and do a lot of meditations with vibration. And then we also have our classes at the Institute. The next semester actually starts January 17th, but you could start the online part on December 10th, I think it is. And it's all about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, how to do treatments on yourself and others, how sound works in the universe, also how to do sound baths and concerts with all the different instruments. We've got a full store, so you get to play with all the tools. And then we have the same program online, also starting in December, where you can do the whole thing online. It works really well, and we've got about a dozen instructors that give you a wide perspective on everything from voice to all the instruments to exactly how consciousness works. Then we have a recording program. You could jump in, but the next semester starts in April, or actually February, I think, and it's all about how to run a digital audio workstation to do recording, mixing, and producing. I wrote the number one selling books in the world in audio recording, The Art of Mixing and The Art of Producing. Also the one number one selling book in sound healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. And you can find that at thecompleteguidetosoundhealing.com. We also have our voice analysis software that we sell. The next training is December 9th. If you sign up by November 22nd, then you can join, or you can also get a treatment for $85. That's all at voiceanalysisharmony.com. And then we have our brainwave assessment software, where we give you 48 CDs tuned to delta for sleep, theta for creativity, alpha for learning, beta for thinking, and gamma for blissing out. But we show you precisely how to tune those CDs to the person. I have got 12 little tidbits of sound with frequencies and rhythms for the 12 notes. And you play those and you see which one makes the person the most calm and peaceful and still. And it's really good for traumatic brain injuries, anxiety, depression, even grief, PTSD, autism, and dementia. So you can find that at yourhomenote.com. We also have, what else here? We also have our store where you can find all of our products. We've got over 500 products now. Crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls. We've got a bunch of tuning forks. We've got sound lounges and sound dolphins and sound pillows that vibrate, and even a belt you can strap on that's really good for pain and getting blissed out, and a lot of really good for any neurological issue. We also have our Medical Sound Association under our nonprofit, where we've got, if you go to Integrative Sound, we've got treatment plans for a wide range of issues, whether it's grief, anxiety, depression, trauma, dementia. We have over 800 doctors putting these treatment plans together. And so you can see the details, like 30 pages each for each one, for on this on medicalsoundassociation.com, all different types of issues. This is really the basis of bringing sound and vibration into hospitals, ultimately, not just the integrative side, but the medical side, ultimately. And then we've got the Sound Treatment Center. We're almost about to launch the Sound Treatment Center. If you want to be a practitioner, we'll train you how to mic everything, and you can charge whatever you want. And then if you want to get a treatment, in about a week and a half, we'll be all set. You can sign up to receive a treatment at soundtreatmentcenter.com. We've already got a lot of practitioners ready to go, and it's just a matter of calling, and that's the best quality sound, the very best quality sound. So we make sure the miking is perfect, and we've got a program way better than Zoom that is just excellent. So it's really the best sound. So that's soundtreatmentcenter.com. We'll be blasting off in about a week and a half, probably around the 20th of November. Then let's see. Then the big thing is our sound healing conference. It's been going for a few days. We got one more day tomorrow, but all of the presentations are free, and they're all free playback for the next 3 weeks. So you can still totally check it out. And we've got all these different people doing presentations and sound baths before everyone. Oh my God, you'll get blissed out just from the sound bath. Really interesting information on how to heal all disease, a lot of work with the voice, a lot of intuitive work. It's just a lot of fun and really interesting as well. So that's at globesoundhealingconference.com. And again, this morning, we had the presentation with Anthony Holland. So let's jump into that. So Anthony Holland, it was almost 10 years ago, Anthony did a TED Talk. And he actually shows four different types of cancer being exploded with four different frequencies, electromagnetic frequencies. There's another company in Israel actually using ultrasound if I have time, I'll play that as well. But Anthony's using electromagnetic. So I want to play a little bit of the TED Talk, and then I want to play the interview that I did after his presentation. So I'm not going to play his presentation for the conference. You can check that out on the site here. I'm going to play the interview I did with him after his presentation. So let me play for you his TED Talk, just a bit of his TED Talk. Okay. Check this out.
So we searched the U.S. patent database, and we find this invention by a physician, Dr. James Baer of Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called a resonant frequency therapy device, and its purpose is to induce a resonant vibration in a living organism or cell. And there are two really important things about this device. The first is that it uses a very special kind of antenna. They take a hollow glass sphere, they evacuate the air, they put in some helium gas, and when we send in our electronic signals, the helium gas lights up like a fluorescent light. An electrified gas is called a plasma. So this is called a plasma antenna. And it has many special properties uniquely suited for this kind of work. The second important aspect about Dr. Baer's invention is that the output always pulses. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. This is very important because when you're doing research on the effects of electromagnetic waves on living organisms and cells, if the signal is constantly on, you are in danger of inducing heat in those cells. And heat causes indiscriminate destruction. And we don't want that. We want targeted destruction. So we don't have to worry about heat. And now we go to the biology laboratory and we take Dr. Baer's device, and the hunt begins through a microscope for a frequency which will shatter a living microorganism. Now we have a method of controlling Dr. Baer's device by an input control frequency. So if I put in, say, 100 hertz, out will come 100 pulses per second. If I put in 200 hertz, we'll get 200 pulses. So now we're searching for the magic frequency. And we start with 100 hertz, and we look through the microscope to see if anything's happening. We watch for 5 minutes. Nothing happens. So we try 101 hertz. We look through the scope for 5 minutes, and nothing happens. So we try 102, 103, and so on. Over the course of 15 months, we try hundreds and hundreds of frequencies, if not thousands, until we find the magic combination. The answer is you have to have two input frequencies, one low, one high, and the higher frequency must be 11 times the lower. It's what we musicians would call the 11th harmonic. And when we add the 11th harmonic, we begin to shatter microorganisms like a crystal glass. These are the first videos taken. We showed these videos to our friends in the biology department. They said they hadn't seen anything quite like it. Seems to be a new phenomenon. These organisms are being shattered by our electronic signals. This is a harmless organism, almost friendly, a little Blepharisma. And normally they're very fast swimmers, but when you approach a frequency to which they are vulnerable, they begin to slow down, then they stop, and then they begin to disintegrate within about 3 minutes. So now we know we can destroy a microorganism, and the question comes up, but can you target a specific organism with a specific frequency? So in this next video, you'll see a large organism in the center, a paramecium, undergoing disintegration, and swimming all around it, a tiny different organism, which is unharmed. If we're lucky, we'll also hear the audio as I narrate the experiment live in a noisy lab. Perhaps you can see the sort of fireworks effect happening in the growing blister to the right of the organism. And here comes a little neighbor wondering what's going on. Who's testing? And you can see blisters forming now on the lower left quadrant and upper left quadrant. The shape is now changing. And a major explosion at the top. So now we have some evidence that we can target specific microorganisms with specific frequencies.
The main point here is that main point is that it doesn't hurt anything else. There's no side effects. It doesn't hurt any other of the organisms in the body because they are a different frequency. It only hurts the cells that you're targeting. That's a really important point.
Videos, and we film the destruction of hundreds of microorganisms. And about this time, we meet a cancer researcher, and we show them these videos. And this results in an invitation to spend 4 months in a cancer research lab trying to shatter cancer cells. This is our setup in the lab. You can see the microscope with cancer cells on it. Here's the plasma tube, And here is my little frequency control box. So first we attack pancreatic cancer. Take a good look at this slide, because the next one will look quite different. After we treat these cells, they change their shape and size, and they begin to grow long, rope-like structures out the sides. They look something like antennas. I call them bioantennas, for biological antennas. It's as if the cancer cells are trying to tune in to our signal. It also turns out this is the beginning of a process of destruction for cancer cells. We now know that cancer is vulnerable between the frequencies of 100,000 hertz and 300,000 hertz. So now we attack leukemia cells. Leukemia cell number one tries to grow a copy of itself, but the new cell is shattered into dozens of fragments and scattered across the slide. Leukemia cell number two then hyperinflates and also dies. Leukemia cell number three then tries to make another cancer cell. The new cell is shattered and the original cell dies. But killing a handful of leukemia cells is not enough for a patient. What kind of numbers can we do? In repeated controlled laboratory experiments, independently assayed by the two top experts, we killed an average of 25% to 42% of the leukemia cells, as high as 60%. They also determined that we slowed the growth rate of the cancer by as much as 65%, so a double effect.
So, okay, now let me play the actual interview.
Now we attack ovarian cancer cells.
So it goes on to a couple other types of cancer. But now check out the interview. This is after his presentation in our sound healing conference. Okay. So check this out. Oh my God, it's just so inspiring, because the potential is just so massive. It's just so massive. So I got a few questions here. you know, as a physics major, first of all, I'm just curious as the protocol for testing or for figuring out the frequencies, because I teach a clinical research class in my program here, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, there's 20,000 frequencies, or you know, if you go into higher frequencies, then, because we're not talking sound, we're talking electromagnetics, then there's millions, not even counting decimal points. So, and then if you start looking at two, I mean, it's like I remember you originally said it's like, what, 15 months to actually, or 18 months to actually go through and just find. I mean, you just do one at a time?
You know, this was the great problem I faced when we first went to the cancer lab on the East Coast. The director of the lab said, you have, I think at the time, the first trial was 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to treat these cancer cells and we'll see if something happens. Well, just what you said was the problem. You know, do you start at 100 hertz or 10,000 hertz or a megahertz, or where do you go? So initially at that time, I went to the internet and some books which had published frequencies by the legendary Royal Rife, right? There are big lists of Rife frequencies for different situations. And I made a list of all of them. And on the first 2 days in the lab, working 12-hour nights, I tested every frequency I had from those lists, looking through the microscope for any kind of change in the cancer cells. And around that time, I became aware of a company, a much larger multinational company called NovoCure. NovoCure started in Israel. They started with $1 billion, that's billion with a B, of private investment. And they since that was way back in 2009. And since then, Novocure is now a publicly traded stock with an FDA-approved cancer frequency treatment. I think they have three types of cancer now approved. They use a little different technology than we use. They use electrodes that are glued, essentially stuck to parts of the patient. So if you have brain cancer, was the first cancer they were FDA-approved for, they take your shave your hair, and then they glue a series of little electrodes on your head, and a low-powered frequency electric field goes into your brain all day while you wear this device. It's very effective. So after I tried all these, you know, historic Rife frequencies, and I'm sorry to say I didn't see really any effect on the cancer cells, I was pretty surprised. I thought, well, let's see what Novocure does. What range are they working in? And at that time in 2009, they were not yet FDA approved, but they had some very good scientific publications. They are very well funded and they have top-notch scientists. So I read that Novocure considered that 100,000 hertz, 100 kilohertz, was a common frequency to which many cancers were vulnerable. And further, they delineated that in most of their publications, they say between 100,000 and 300,000 hertz is where they've been able to show the cancer is vulnerable. So this is when I began hunting up in that range in 2009, between 100,000 hertz and 200,000 hertz. However, our frequencies are passing through a plasma tube. We don't use electrodes that are attached to, you know, the cell flasks or anything. This is a glass ball filled with helium. The gas molecules light up with the electronic signals we send in, and it emanates electric fields, which are pulsed at the frequency that we have control over. So we started pulsing cells up in the Novocure range around 100 kilohertz, and that's when... When I first saw something, I was at 197 kilohertz, and I saw my first leukemia cell shatter. And that just blew my mind. It also blew the mind of the lab director. I still have on video a little segment with the lab director. I'm not supposed to show it to the public, I'm sorry to say, but the lab director looks at me on video and he says, "I don't know what you're doing, but you're destroying more cancer cells than chemo or radiation, and it's impossible." at the time, he told me, even if you could do this six more times and had the same results, I don't know if I can publish this because nobody in my field, and he'd been in the field 25 years, he said nobody would believe it. So to get back to your question, how do we find the frequencies? That's the range we generally work in. And I have kind of limited my hunts between around 100,000 and 200,000. And what I do is when I start with a new kind of cancer that I haven't used, that I haven't tried before, I start at 100,000 hertz because Novocure has said that seems to be almost a universal number that many cancers are sensitive to, not all, but many. So I start there. And then I have a whole kind of hunting pattern where in the first week, I'll hunt the odd numbers. Like I might run 100,000 hertz for 2 hours, and then I'll run 120 for 2 hours and 140. Or sorry, these are the even numbers. And I go all up to 200. And then the next week, I'll run the odds. I'll do 100, 130, 150, 170 kilohertz, up to 210 maybe. And then I'll compare those results, and that starts to allow me to narrow down, okay, the even numbers work better than the odd, so now I'm going to zero down and narrow the range. And over the course of some weeks, you eventually find that there's a narrow bandwidth in which these cancer cells will really start shattering and slowing down and dying. So it just takes some time.
So I got a clarification question. So you said 197,000, right? And are we talking the pulse rate or the carrier frequency rate?
Now, that's a good question. That's the pulse rate, 197,000 pulses per second. The carrier of the RF is an FCC-approved carrier for this kind of work. 27.12 megahertz is the carrier that is sent into the plasma tube, and then it's pulsed at 197,000 times a second.
Have you ever thought about trying to play with the different carriers?
Yeah, there's. I know in the Rife world, a lot of people think that Rife was using, I think, a 3 megahertz carrier.
Right, right. And then it did oscillation up and down above and below that.
We could make variations in that. Right now, the equipment that we work with is locked in at the FCC-approved carrier, 27.12 megahertz. I think if you had a device that had low enough power levels, you could legally work at a different carrier level. You have to be very careful about what the rules are, what carrier can transmit at what power level. So we may be looking at that in the future. I would actually like to see a device where I can change the carrier at will. So not only am I changing the pulse rate, but I'm also changing the carrier. And then once you find a frequency that works, now try some different carriers and see if that makes a difference. That would be the ideal machine for me.
Cool. Well, I've got a few ideas here. You know, in my book, I talk about how to heal every disease by looking at the body as music. So it's got frequencies. It's got timbres, which are a combination of frequencies. It's got musical interval relationships, and it's got musical flows through each of the 11 systems, right? It's in smooth flow without blockages is the whole deal. So my first thought is, why two frequencies? Why not three? Why not, in fact, why not actually use a device to measure the frequency content of the cancer cells, like the Raman spectroscopy that John Stuart Reed used? And I just talked to two doctors at an event just a week ago, and they said there's like light devices that will measure the frequency of the entire harmonic content of a cell scientifically in real time. And then you've got the entire harmonic array, all frequencies, and now you play all of those frequencies to it and explode it 100% of the time.
Yeah, this would be an ideal situation. And I have to say, I love the way you describe the metaphor of the human body and its functions in music, harmony, overtones, melody, and all these things. It, as a fellow musician, this makes absolute perfect sense to me. When I'm doing experiments, when I was working still as a college professor teaching music for many years, one of my areas of work was composition, you know, writing music for other performers, or in some cases, electronic music for computers. And when people would ask me the last 10 years, what kind of music are you writing? I would say I'm writing music for microbes or music for cancer cells. And the difference is we're hoping they don't like this music very much. That really, you don't want to see your audience get hurt by your music. But in the case of cancer or dangerous bacteria, hey, we don't mind if the audience doesn't survive the concert.
Well, this is where I'm headed. And we're looking at doing the research for this is to actually use the electron microscope to measure the harmonic content of different cells in each of the 11 systems and measure them at specific nodes based on doctors so that we find the actual notes of the melody of that entire system. Right. And then we use EKG and EEG. And now we got the rhythm because it's going to be in direct relationship, right, to the heart, brain, and breath. Right. And now you've got the melody of the entire of each of the 11 systems. So you got 11 songs of you, and you can use needles with frequencies. You can use electromagnetics. You can use micro pads. You could use ultrasound. You could use infrared light. You could use scalar waves and run that song through and still find the Wiley cells and explode them to break up the blockages, right? But ultimately create that flow. But also, this is the other thing that I think about, and that is to shift to finding what's right in the body and using electromagnetics to resonate the parts of the body into what's right also, besides destroying what's wrong.
Yeah, that touches on an interesting email I received a few years ago. In my TED talk, I mentioned the book, The Rainbow and the Worm, by a scientist who lived in England. Her name was Mei Wan Ho. And after my TED talk, I tried to contact her by email. And at first, she kind of ignored me completely. But through persistence, she wrote back and she watched my TED talk. And I was very excited about it because her book was really providing the theoretical background. What am I doing? How is it I'm able to destroy these cells? And she started explaining her book about liquid crystals, and cells are liquid crystals. And I knew we could shatter crystals with the right frequency. But in one of our email exchanges, she wrote to me, she said, yeah, that's great. You can shatter cancer cells, but really, even better would be find a frequency which will take a cancer cell and revert it back to a normal, healthy cell. Well, that's, of course, the ultimate idea, and similar to what you were just saying, but I have no idea how I could do that. I'm not capable of the type of detailed cellular testing, you know, where you can determine how much ATP is happening or the structure of the ribosomes, or that really would take a huge scientific team. I think NovoCure would have a big enough team to do that, but they're more interested in slowing and destroying the cells. I think the first step in the case of cancer, antibiotic resistance bacteria, any of these things, is to stop the disease from hurting you further, from hurting the patient. As I understand it, the problem with cancer is when it starts to interfere with the functions of the body, that's where the patient becomes really seriously in trouble. So first we have to stop that cancer from interfering with bodily functions, maybe in the future through shattering so many cells at a time. And then we can encourage better health in the patient, but we have to prevent those most urgent moments, which are a real threat to life.
I've got another idea, which is a project that looks like we're going to get funded for that I think you'll love because as a musician. And that is to use these electron microscopes to map out all frequencies of all 70 trillion cells. Take a little time, right? And we'll have to use AI, but then we'll map out the musical interval relationships between them, because they will be the same. They're different from person to person, and that's why nobody agrees on any frequency for anything, right? Because it's a little bit different. So then but I bet you the musical interval relationships are the same from person to person.
I think you're right. I think there are certainly unique characteristics for every individual. But then I think there will be broad characteristics which all of our bodies would respond to. I just want to touch on this point about electron microscopes. And it makes me recall some audio recordings I've heard of Royal Rife. I don't know if you know, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the great legend of Royal Rife. But some years ago, I was able to obtain audio recordings that had been found that he left behind in his own voice. and the voice of people who knew him. And one of the things he explains about the electron microscope, which at in Rife's day, the electron microscope was just being developed. It was a new thing. And as Rife pointed out, he said, the problem with that is everything under an electron microscope is first killed. It's plated with silver. They paint it with a kind of silver paint. They put it in a vacuum where nothing can survive, theoretically. And then they hit it with like 100,000 volts in order to take a picture. So Rife felt that electron microscope photographs were, as he called it, shadowgraphs of deceased creatures. And and that's all right if you want to see what the creature looked like or the organism looked like or parts of the cell. But you can't study the function of the cell or see it how it reacts to a signal in real time unless it's alive. So this is where there are scientists now. I think Stefan Heller is one who won the Nobel Prize for his microscope work, where they are able to now see living cells. For example, I have a friend in France who does work with fiber optics and special microscopes. He can see a neuron in real time, stimulate the neuron, and view and videotape the signal of what's happening at the cellular neuron level in the living animal and in living cells. So now we're getting to the point where the top microscope experts can actually image these things in living cells, living creatures. I'm sure they could do bacteria. How far away could viruses be? And then just what you said, we'll be able to watch their reaction in real time and say, yep, look at that. This is, write this one down. He didn't like this one. He died. Yeah, that's great.
I love that. So you finally getting microscopes that won't kill the object. Yeah. So the other level that I think about also is that as a physics major, we can actually figure out the actual frequency of an overall organ based on density, thickness, and size. There's mathematical formulas for that, right? Mechanical resonance. But there's the material resonance. There's the cellular resonance. There's even the liquid resonances. There's the atomic resonance. But then I just saw a whole thing on string theory where you get down into the parts of the cell. So each level is going to have its own resonant frequency. And I bet you there's a musical interval chord that's very common, that's stable between all those different levels. And once we figure out that chord, that musical interval relationship, then we can just use one test at any level and get the whole array for that organ.
I think that's true. I've seen little snippets of maybe what that would be like in the future. Through my colleague, Gerard DeBost, who is a physicist. He's an expert in plasmas and antenna, electromagnetic radiation of antennas. And he has co-authored several scientific papers with us, helping to explain the results. When I've shattered these cancer cells, he writes back to me, he said, okay, use your microscope, take very precise measurements, the diameter of the cells and all this. And then he's done calculations where he's shown several possible resonant frequencies in the cell. The math is way beyond anything I could do, I can tell you that. He's a trained physicist and was a professor for 40 or 50 years in that field. But they're on our website at novobiotronics.com. And if you're a math person, I encourage you to look at it, and you can maybe explain it to me. Gerard explained it to me in layman's terms. Anthony, here's why you're shattering cells. But what's really interesting is people like to think in the past, maybe, well, there's one particular frequency that's really the best. I'm not so sure. I think it's more like what you said. There are many parts of the cell which have resonant structures. For example, my colleague Gerard, he said, we believe we have found at least through our calculations, three resonant frequencies for what are called microtubules in the cell. And the microtubules are little wire-like structures that build the cell and hold the little parts of the cell together and make the cell move when it divides and so on. And he said, here's a length we can calculate with a resonant frequency. Here's the width of a microtubule. And also, there's a twisting frequency for the microtubules. And he took everything into account, like you said, the damping of the signal based on how much water was within the microtubule, the distance from the plasma tube, and how many watts per centimeter squared. Just fantastic work in there. You know, I'm just taking the cells and running frequencies and filming it. And of course, I do assays. I can tell you what percentage of cells lived, what percentage died. But the mechanism of destruction, it's like you said, many, many frequencies can be helpful.
It's interesting. One thing I wanted to point out, some people might think, oh, well, I've seen people exploding glasses with the voice on YouTube, but they aren't using destructive resonance to do that. If they were using destructive resonance to explode a glass with the voice, we'd be in trouble. It's like, especially in a sound healing class, lost a liver today, right? Oops, went there went a kidney, right? Hit the wrong frequency, right? No, it's really binaural beats. When you use the voice, they show it on the glass. They actually find the frequency of the glass and go off pitch a little bit. And the difference frequency is what actually explodes the glass. Now, when they, on the ones you did and you showed, the volume of the frequency is way louder than the voice can do. And that's where you actually, there are videos of them exploding glasses with frequencies of tone generators, and that is destructive resonance, which is, but just has to be much louder, right? I mean, the potential also, you know, I always think of, this is the way I always put it. The more ways you lead a horse to water, the more chances it'll drink, right? Why not use sound, which is effect. I mean, there's, you know, InsideTech is using ultrasound to destroy cancer. I mean, there's a video from years ago on YouTube, the operating room of the future. Why not use all different levels, even scalar waves, and use them all at the same time? I mean, that's the potential is really huge. But here's...
Let me just mention in regards to resonance, the key thing in a resonant destruction is that the amount of energy you are putting into the system just slightly exceeds what they call the dampening factor. You know, you're sending in a vibration of something, a little bit of that vibration is going to be absorbed and kind of weakened, but there's only so much damping of the sound. Like in the piano, they have dampers, these little felt things that come down and stop the piano strings. So in a vibrating system, each system will have a certain amount of damping of the incoming signal. As long as the power level of the signal you're sending in slightly exceeds the damping factor and you sustain it, the vibration will grow larger and larger in amplitude and you'll achieve your goal. It goes back to Nikola Tesla, the legendary event he had in his laboratory where he attaches a small physical vibrating oscillator to a steel beam in his lab, and he calculates the resonant frequency for that steel structure of his lab. And the next thing he knows, the building starts shaking, bricks are falling, a policeman runs in the lab, what's going on here? And the whole building's about to be destroyed by this little oscillating thing. And Tesla supposedly smashes the oscillator, and the police decide not to arrest him after all for causing all this trouble in the streets. But it's a nice story, but it's good to know. It's like the video of the destruction of that bridge. I mean, when you think of concrete and steel structures and steel cables, You couldn't stand there with your hand and move any of that. And here comes a wind, which is not a hurricane. It's just a probably pretty strong wind blowing across there. And you see the bridge start shaking. And at some point, it causes a frequency in that bridge, and it sustains that frequency long enough to overcome the damping of the bridge, and the bridge is destroyed. So if we can find this, now this is an interesting thing in a parallel to what Novocure, that large multinational company that does frequency treatments of cancer, they stress you do not need high power levels. I think they're saying less than 1 watt per centimeter squared or something like that. I'd have to look it up in the Novocure papers, but you don't have to overpower the system. You need just enough power, sustain at the right frequency, and if you're patient enough, the magic will happen, or in the case of destruction, that will happen.
Well, here's the next step, and that is to work at the emotional level to get rid of the cause of the cancer in the first place, right? And the work of Jeffrey Martin is now using ultrasound on microtubules, where he's found the microtubule frequencies within the cells that you were just talking about, within the brain, to bring people into a state of oneness and unity consciousness in the lab every time. If you're in oneness and unity consciousness, there's no more anxiety. There's no more depression. There's no more PTSD. All mental emotional issues are gone. So now we're talking a new, if we use that level as well, oh my God, the world's about to change.
Yeah, there's no question that nutrition plays an absolutely key role in cancer. I'm not an expert in that, so I leave that to those experts, but I certainly have studied that quite a bit. The Warburg effect and things like that are very much in the news. But also, as you say, it's recognized by doctors that your emotional state, your mental emotional state, has a very powerful effect on your body. You can destroy your immune system, which is used to fight cancer and other diseases, if you have emotional issues, if you're having tremendous stress and things like that. There's no question that good health has to be emotional, mental, physical, nutrition, and all of these things. It's a lot of work to be healthy.
So I have to ask the question, a lot of people are thinking, have you been hassled at all?
Not really, no. Cool. I had one instance in upstate New York, which was I had some concern about my personal safety. And that's a little bit part of the reason of why I moved to Florida. But I had been to Europe, and I met a very famous in Europe, a scientist who was an expert in microscopes. And he did warn me. He said, you know, if you get too close to finding a solution for cancer, which does not use pharmaceuticals, you are going to have two visitors at your door. And he went on to describe, he had these visitors and told me the story. Now, I don't know if he was telling me a yarn, you know, just to have a great story because I had come to Germany to visit him. But sure enough, one day in upstate New York, two middle-aged men dressed in business suits did show up at my front door exactly as he had described. And their behavior was very strange. They knew my name. And when I told them at the moment, I was very busy and didn't have time to talk to them, they later returned and tried to, I don't know what they were going to do, but it's fit the description of this fellow in Germany so well that I felt very uncomfortable about it.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot and just listening for ways avenues, because I think it's meant to happen. And, you know, I talked with Jeffrey Thompson, who's really been working in this area as well and thinking about it a lot. And the first thing I think is to get the hospitals on board. The second is Asia and Europe are way more open, right? But, you know, really the deal though is once you get FDA approval, I mean, it's an open door, right?
Yes, if you have FDA approval, then you are allowed to treat patients with your method, with your technology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the problem is to get FDA approval, it's costing, I think, a minimum of $10 million to run through the three phases of FDA trials.
Boy, that's not a lot for the potential of what this could do, though. That's really not a lot. So with the, so say you got, so how much do you think you would need to actually, well, there's probably all different levels of funding that you could do, but what is the plan for the research in Florida at different levels? What do you see happening, and what's the ultimate goal here? The first stage goal.
I would see, yeah, the first stage goal, I would say our company, which is very small, I'm the president and I'm doing all the experiments and finding the frequencies and doing all the cell assays and all these skills that I learned by visiting cancer labs and having scientists train me in these things. My goal is to leave behind a database of frequencies, which we have shown in video and also in scientific papers, the exact data through assays. These frequencies can slow cancer growth and they can destroy cancer. And we've seen it happen at these percentages. We can kill 60%, 70%, or 25% if we use this frequency at this power level. I think if we can leave as much of that information and we give it out to the public for free on our website, that's part of our mission. When we discover a frequency which works, we want to publish it. We want to give it away to the public, let everybody know what it is, get it out there, because we're hoping that the next step will be taken by a larger organization, which would be testing these frequencies, say, with mice. Now, at one point, we priced out the cost of doing a test with mice. I don't know anything about working with mice, so I had to find a company which does this professionally. There was a company in Canada, I think it was maybe 8 years ago or so, just to see what it would cost. They said, well, you can come up to Canada, bring your equipment. We'll give you maybe 10 days, and we'll have 30 mice. And 15 of them, we'll give all the mice leukemia. Exact kind of leukemia you're working on. It's a cell line called K562 chronic leukemia. The mice will contract leukemia. We have experience with this. 15 of these mice you'll treat with your electronics and 15 you won't. And then we'll see which mice live longer, have a better quality of life. And we'll also then later sacrifice the mice, sorry to say, but that will allow us to see at the cellular level and the organ level, what were your electric fields doing to the mice? Were they helping them somehow? Great. Wow. These are the top experts. So this was about 8 years ago. They said for 30 mice in 2 weeks, you'll need $100,000. So to me, that's impossible. You know, I can buy a house for $100,000, but I can't afford that. And our company operates on a shoestring budget. We can just barely afford to buy cancer cells and the media to keep the cells alive and the materials needed to assay the experiments. So when you start getting up to that level, I think you need an institution or you need somebody like an Elon Musk, you know, who says, hey, here's $1 million. Go do a couple animal experiments. And if those go well, come back. And we'll come up with another $15 million, and you can start the FDA trial. So I'm thinking we're at the fundamental level. We're going to provide the data. These frequencies slowed and killed these kind of cancer cells. Somebody take it from here. We gave you all the information.
Excellent. Well, we'll just assume it's a done deal.
Wait, write the check. Okay.
right. It's yeah, check's on the way. I actually would bet that you'll have full funding within 6 months here.
Well, that would be awesome. That would be incredible. Wow. Yeah. I'm ready.
Anything else you'd like to share before we end?
No, it's I guess I would just say, you know, my career was in music. I was a music professor quite some number of years. I love that job. I love music. I'm a musician, orchestra conductor, composer, and of course in the music technology, which is where I got interested in frequencies and cancer. I just want to say, why does it have to be a musician who's finding these frequencies and who's working summer school so he can, you know, buy some cancer cells and is working hundreds of hours, you know, doing assays and running frequencies? Where are the cancer researchers? I mean, we've got enough data out there now. If you read the NovoCure papers, and they're patents, and they have a lot of patents on this too. We don't have any patents. We haven't applied for any patents. Even our most recent paper we released in 2023, it took me years to figure out this new electronic signal using frequency modulation synthesis, which I knew would have a powerful impact on cancer cells. We released the entire program, how to do it for free, in our third paper in 2023. But why isn't MD Anderson doing this? You know, why aren't all the great cancer centers checking it out? It's now proven, if not through our small company, certainly through NovoCure. I mean, NovoCure is a company with a $27 billion stock cap, right? It's they're huge. They're all over the world, and they have FDA approvals, and they're in another 12 or 14 or 15 trials. It's the wave of the future. So why isn't somebody else testing to see, okay, the NovoCure technology works great, but it doesn't project over the entire body. Let's look at what Novo Biotronics did with a plasma tube, because we're treating the cells from 2 feet away. We can eventually develop the system, I think, where literally you could treat a room full of people all at once. And I don't think it would be that expensive to test that. But, you know, where are the cancer researchers doing that? They can't get grants for that. They can get grants if they want to use drugs, but they can't get grants for using electronics.
The potential here is just massive. Oh, my God. There's nothing to say, right? It's just unbelievable. We're not going to have any radiation or chemo in 10 years. It's going to be completely gone. We're not going to be hurting anybody anymore. This is so incredible. Hold that energy, that intention, that possibility, which is really happening, of all diseases cured. All bacteria exploded. All viruses exploded as well. And then all emotions elevated to higher consciousness so they don't keep creating those diseases. Hold that energy for the rest of the evening, weekend, weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead, and lifetimes ahead. May it be so. So it is. Take care.